In the introductory lecture, I told you what HUNA is, where it came from as nearly as we know, and the general nature of the system, a system of psychology plus religion. For the work tonight, I propose that we take a very practical attitude and learn how to use this system. It is very valuable. It works better than any other system of which I know, and is not very hard to learn to use. Prayer is the basis of the use of HUNA, as it is in all religious work. The prayer is made to the superconscious, to the God within. All prayers are sent telepathically from the subconscious to the superconscious. And no matter to whom you pray, whether it be to God or Jesus or some other deity, there's only one place where the prayer can go, and that is to the parental spirit, the high self, the Al-Makua. The first thing to be done in making a prayer, any prayer, is to decide exactly what one wishes to ask for. Of course, the safe thing to ask for is the old "Ask ye first for the kingdom of heaven, seek ye first." And when we ask for information for the inner knowledge of verity, then we have something we can begin to work with very easily. However, many people have many needs, and if we have the need for a new home and wish to pray for a new home, or if we wish to pray for health or for a change in our circumstances, if we are in a social tangle and wish to have that straightened out for us, then that is legitimate. That is something for which one may pray. But first, one must be very sure to have the prayer properly in mind. It has to be made so that we will not need to change it later on. To change a prayer after it has been sent to the superconscious is a very bad thing to do if you wish to get results. A prayer is said in HUNA to be a seed. That is the symbol that is used. A prayer is a seed. And the seed is very carefully made and is sent to the high self, the superconscious. You might say that it's sent to be planted in God's garden. And once it is there, it must not be dug up all the time to see if it is sprouting, or the roots are destroyed and the whole growth of the plant stops abruptly. You recall that we have three selves in HUNA: the superconscious self, the middle self, or the conscious mind self, and the subconscious, which we call the low self, which makes an easy term. It's the younger self, and it is a little bit lower. The conscious mind lives more or less in the mind, in the brain, and the low self has its center in the lower brain and the solar plexus. The middle self is the one who decides what is wanted, what the prayer shall be, and makes the prayer in words first. It has to describe the thing that is desired. And in making a description of these things, thought forms are automatically manufactured to match by the low self. The low self helps us to talk. The low self watches and listens and makes thought forms of which normally it constructs our memories. So we remember a day later what we have prayed for today. These thought forms, which are something rather new and have to be taken at the present time for granted if you're going to learn to make the prayer of the miracle, are held by the subconscious, ready to send to the high self when the time comes. You might say that a prayer is first made into a bundle of thought forms. The next mechanism in making the prayer, after you have decided what you want, have described it in words, have memorized your picture, your prayer, so that you are not going to change it once that it is made, the next step is to get force, the vital force, to send the telepathic message. It's like a radio message that needs electricity to send it out over the air. Only in this case, the low self is connected to the high self with a shadowy cord, the silver cord mentioned in the Bible. The low self lives in the body and centers in the solar plexus. The middle self centers in the brain. And the high self lives outside the body, up above it as a rule. It comes down fairly close, but it may be all around, every place. It's a wandering self, but it is always at the end of the telephone line, the shadowy cord, so that the low self can put in a call and get the high self, if it is not too very busy on a very, very important job, to come to listen to the prayer and to help. Perhaps it can hear the prayer at the end of the cord, even if it is very, very far away and very busy. The electricity is equated by what we call mana. It's the same mana that we ran into in Genesis, but it is only spelled in the Polynesians, in Huna, with one N, mana. It is the vital force made of the food that we eat, the air we breathe, the water we consume. The low self burns that as blood sugar and creates vital force by taking in extra air. Whenever we exercise and need more force, more living vital force, we breathe more deeply, we breathe faster, we breathe more heavily, and we make a great deal more vital force so that we can walk faster or run or exert ourselves. The strange part of the Huna theory is that the high self, the superconscious self, has a very limited supply of vital force unless it takes it from the physical body. That the middle self, the conscious mind self, has to take force from the physical body, from the low self, in order to do its thinking, in order to do anything that it wishes to do. And so, when the superconscious is being asked to take our prayer as a picture, a thought form picture, and to make it into a reality, that is, to make your prayer come true, the vital force must be sent to make the high self strong, to enable it to work as we ask it to work in our prayers. In Huna, they have symbol words that are very picturesque. For instance, they use the word water to symbolize the mana, the vital force, and they call the prayer the seed. So you are planting a seed with the high self, and you are sending the vital force water to water that seed so that it will grow. That is their symbol, and it is a very excellent one. You do not send enough vital force with the prayer at the time that you make it to do the complete job of growing the seed from its beginning until it is a reality and is materialized on the physical plane. Daily, we must contact the superconscious, accumulate a little extra supply of the vital force, repeat our prayer word for word as we have memorized it, send it again as a picture, and it will be accompanied by the vital force, and that will strengthen the picture and will help the high self to continue to grow it. It seems to be an automatic process. The things that we think are real, and they become real. The thing that I have feared hath come upon me, says Job. In a moment, we will consider the way that we go about gathering a little extra vital force, mana, to send with the prayer picture to the high self. For the moment, I want to speak of the necessity of accepting the high self as an actuality, as a true being. And this we have to accept on faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, says Paul. And if we have no faith, the seed that we send as a prayer also takes on no substance. It does not materialize into an actual condition. If you pray for something that is not a material thing, but a condition, that is, for instance, if I pray to have my life changed so that I am not in a social tangle as at present, that is a change in conditions. If I pray for a new car, that is a material something that also, if you get it, is a new condition. Granted that you are willing to accept the God within as a verity, the high self, and that you have a certain amount of faith, then you get your prayer ready. You decide what you want to ask for. If you ask for knowledge and wisdom, you see yourself. You make a picture of yourself as having the proper knowledge, as having the proper wisdom to know the truth and to know what is good and what is evil and what to avoid and what to do, all of those things. It's a little bit difficult to make a mental picture of those things, but you can make yourself into the picture. Put yourself in and imagine yourself as having already learned a great deal of wisdom so that you understand what the kingdom of heaven is about, so you understand the superconscious, so you understand the ins and outs of the low self. Those are the things of wisdom that you have to picture yourself having already known. In making your picture, you make it as a picture of a thing already accomplished, not as something growing, something being done a little bit at a time, but you make the picture of the finished fact. You consider it as a thing that has to be grown completely from a perfected pattern. Your pattern must not have the trousers left off of the suit. And the whole dress, the whole suit, everything has to be pictured as complete. That is one of the things that is used in New Thought. They say we are picturing this, we are making it come true with our thinking as here and now. So it's a here and now proposition when you work it that way. Now let us consider the matter of accumulating the extra vital force, the extra mana, to use as the power to send the prayer to the high self and to water the seed that is being sent along the shadowy cord. It is a very simple matter of telling the low self to accumulate a surcharge of vital force and then taking the breathing away from it. The breathing is an automatic thing done by the low self ordinarily, and when you take it away from the low self and you consciously begin to breathe more slowly and more deeply, the subconscious is impressed. It promptly pays attention. Here is something in its domain that is being taken from it, taken over from it. And it knows how to accumulate vital force. That's its job. It does it every time that we stand up or sit down. It gets a little bit more vital force, and it keeps a supply on hand for us. So when you start with your accumulation, you say to yourself, now I will start accumulating extra vital force. This accumulation will go on steadily while I do the heavier breathing that is necessary to burn the blood sugar and to make the energy. The low self, when it is made, will store it in the body and have it ready to use when I tell it to send the message. The breathing exercise is done in rhythm, a rhythmic way which comes coded into the New Testament. The old kahunas called it the breath system, or the four-breath, or the 40, they use the word ha, H-A, in their code. And that word has several meanings. It means to breathe more heavily, to breathe strongly. It also means just breath, and it means four or 40. So you take four long, slow, deeper breaths, not too slow, not too long, not too deep. You breathe out, and then you take another one after you've taken the first until you get four. Then, in order to avoid getting too much oxygen in the blood and getting a little bit dizzy, you pause for perhaps 10 counts, or as long as you feel that you should. If you pause for the length of time that it has taken to take four breaths, that makes a good rhythm. You can take four breaths, then pause, then four breaths more, until you get up to the count of 40. That is approximate. You can go longer, you can take more, you can gather more vital force, or just four breaths will get you enough to brighten your vision if you're looking carefully at something, or to help you in many ways. That little extra pickup of vital force is a very simple and easy thing to get. You can experiment and see if it does quicken your vision, so that in looking at something and do your breathing exercise after the ha system, you'll find that you can sense at least an increase in the vision. There's no physical sensation particularly about getting an extra charge of vital force, so you take it on faith that the low self has obeyed and has the vital force. And then you repeat your prayer as you remember it. You memorize your picture, and you make a prayer in words to fit it, if you possibly can, so that when you come to deliver your prayer, to send it to the superconscious, you repeat the words that describe the thing that you want. And as you describe it, you are making the thought form picture which you have memorized come up out of the memory bag to the subconscious. The subconscious will take care of that as you describe it. It will recall it as a memory. And you say to the subconscious, send this prayer to the high self so that it may be materialized and made into a reality. You also say, send a charge of the vital force as a gift, and wait a little bit. It hasn't any special system. You can take your time, but as long as you hold the desire and the purpose and the intent in your mind and keep thinking of the low self and the high self, the low self is very able. It will learn very quickly to contact the high self and to send the picture. Then when you have given time enough and perhaps breathe a little bit extra and send an extra gift of mana to the high self, asking that the picture be materialized, that that condition be actualized on the physical, then you are ready to end your prayer. You don't end it too abruptly. You come to what you feel is the right end, and then if you wish to use the ending that the kahunas used long ago and still perhaps may use in some parts of the world, they say, my prayer has now taken flight. Let the rain of blessings fall. Amen. They said, ah, ma, ah. But that our amen, which we are familiar with, is just as good. It is an ending. Then you release the subconscious. By doing that, you release the superconscious. And if your prayer has been successful and you have sent a proper charge of vital force, the rain of blessings is a strange thing. It is a return of the vital force. The vital force has changed. It's changed to the type that is used by the high self, and it may send it down to cleanse and to bless you, and you may feel it. I have felt it very often. It is like a little shower of rain. Pins and needles, as if from a very sharp shower, falling on your head and shoulders. If you feel nothing at all, take it still on faith. Go ahead. Say, I have delivered my prayer. I've said my amen. And now we'll leave that in the hands of the high self, superconscious, utterly trustworthy parental spirit to get to work with and to materialize. Some prayers can be answered very quickly. You can get small things that do not involve getting somebody else's help quite easily and quite well. Prayers that involve the help of other people. For instance, if you are asking for a new home, and that means that you are going to have the cooperation of several people, then that may take quite a long time, because the high self asks for cooperation from the high selves of your friends or others that you're associated with, but it never forces anything. You can't get the high self to rob Peter to pay Paul for you. It will not force a person to love another person. You can't pray, give me that man's house, because the high self will not take the house away from someone else and give it to you. Everything is justice on the high self level. What you are doing when you assume the pledge to live the hurtless life, that is, stop hurting others. Of course, you can defend yourself against hurts. That is legitimate. But be careful not to hurt the other fellow's feelings. Do not injure him in any way. Do not rob him. Do not slander him. Follow the Ten Commandments. That was the old non-hurt idea enlarged by the early kahunas to a very fine form. When you have taken your own mental pledge, you pledge to yourself, not to anyone else, that you will begin to live the Huna life, the life of non-hurt and help, the kindly life, the compassionate life, then you are beginning to bring the high self in to take its reasonable, normal, legitimate third of your life in its care. Without the help of the high self, we live a life in which most of the planning and the execution of the deeds of life comes from the work of the middle self and the low self. We are guided a little bit by the high self, but the guidance is not very direct. It's more or less an automatic thing for large events. It can make us do certain things that will change our lives in ways that must be changed and for which you have been selected. But if you are going to live a life of happiness and to be successful and spiritually satisfied with your own activities, your own attitudes, you need to allow the high self to have its share in your life, and that is a legitimate thing. If you block out the high self and do not let it have its share of the work of helping and guiding, then you are not making the most of life. You're getting about a third or a half out of life that should be got. In the New Testament, Paul, although he was not an initiate, he was not a kahuna, and he did some very strange things in making the dogmas of the church. Nevertheless, he in some way had come to know that this prayer was a necessary thing to help all of his followers. He wrote in, I believe it was Romans, I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable before God, which is your reasonable service. Now, what you can offer as a sacrifice to God or to your high self, the superconscious, is not your body. It is your vital force. That is the only thing which the high self can use. It can't use a leg or a foot or anything of that sort. In the old days, unfortunately, the early Christians got this all mixed up. And they decided that one of the things they could do without and could sacrifice was their sex life. So Paul said that the people should not marry, they should have no sex life. And as a result of that inhibition, there was a great flood of trouble with the early Christians. There was psychosis from living the abnormal life. Some men went out to be hermits in order to try to beat down their sexual impulses. Some of them even had themselves castrated, thinking that that was the answer. There was a great deal of foolishness. Monasteries were established and nunneries where men and women could be able to get away from the opposite sex and not perform in such a way that they would sin. Oh, sex was a great sin. Things would have been very much different if Paul had realized that what was to be sacrificed was the vital force, not the body itself. In the old days in Hawaii, when the missionaries arrived, the kahunas listened to them, and in the translation, the missionaries had learned to speak Hawaiian. They said things about the miracles of Jesus. And the kahunas thought, well, here are a set of people that know all about our religion. They know how the miracles are performed, and they must be great healers. So they brought their sick and their halt and their blind, the ones that their dwindling number of healing kahunas had not yet healed, and they presented them to the doctor who'd come with the first load of missionaries. The doctor was unable to handle it. He had no cure for blindness and for a great many things. And when he failed, the people were quite puzzled. They didn't know exactly what to think of it. But they thought they would wait a while, and the missionary said that they needed a church before they could really do things properly. So the natives and the royalty and even some of the kahunas joined in, and they built them churches. When the churches were ready and they had their first services, then the natives listened with a great deal of care, and they thought, well, here they will make prayers that will perform the usual miracles. Instead of the very careful, slow preparation of the prayer, as the kahunas and their people had done in their temple worship when they were praying for the good of the nation, they sometimes spent 2 or 3 hours while the prayer was considered, while it was thought about, and then the vital force was accumulated by the priest and by the people, and finally the prayer was put into words and was sent to the great company of high selves, the high selves of all of the people, asking and picturing the good of the nation at that time, their little nation, their tribe, their section. And in the accumulation of vital force, they did the breath exercise. They used the 40 breath, the ha rite. And that was so much a part of it that when they heard the missionaries stand up and without any preparation begin to pray along a prayer and then saying amen without any pause and without any sending of vital force and so on, the natives shook their heads and they said, these people make a prayer that is not strong. These people are without breath. In the Hawaiian, the word ha is breath, as I told you, and the word without is ole. So they called the missionaries ha ole. Haole, we call it today, shortening it. And since that time, all missionaries, all white people, all the people who pray without sending the vital force to the high self, they're all called haoles. When we are emotionally stirred, for instance, a good Christian emotionally stirred with a great need, a great trouble, and crying out emotionally, the low self automatically makes the extra vital force, automatically sends the worded picture to the high self. In many, many cases, a good Christian has a very open path or connection along the Aka cord to his own superconscious. He may think that he is praying to God or to Jesus or to the Holy Spirit or to the Virgin Mary or some saint, but in every case the prayer can go only one place, and that is to the high self, and it can go only in one way, and that's telepathically.